Tonight on the Worldview Weekend Hour, the great collapse that will lead to the great reset, part three. I'm Brandon House, and we're live here on Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time. I have shocking video clips tonight from several people across the globe, including Archbishop Vigano, also the former head of the Vatican Bank and the former leader of Malaysia. They are admitting what we already know. They're just warning about it. You do not want to miss tonight's program. The Worldview Weekend Hour begins right now.
WVW-TV presents the Worldview Weekend Hour with Brandon House. Whether the topic is law, science, government, economics, history, family, social issues, education, or theology, Brandon brings the issues of today into clear focus through the lens of a biblical worldview. And now, here is your host, Brandon House.
Good evening and welcome to the Worldview Weekend Hour. We're live here on Sunday night, October 3rd, 2021. Sunday night, October 23rd, 2021. Folks, it is not too late to be calling, tweeting, texting, email, Facebooking. Get on the phone if you have to. Please tell your family and friends to turn on right now, Lindell TV, frankspeech.com. We're also simulcasting, of course, at wvwtv.com/live, where I have been doing a Sunday night live show every Sunday night since 2015. And I'm appreciative to Mike Lindell, who allows me to simulcast this on Frank Speech and Lindell TV as well. Welcome to the new folks, and welcome back to our alumni who have been with us since 2015 when we launched this Sunday night show. But please, right now, I really need you to tweet, text, email, Facebook, call your family and friends, tell them to tune in right now. We also have a brand new Roku channel with Frank Speech, as you know. But send them to wvwtv.com/live, frankspeech.com, lindelltv.com, wherever. Get them here, folks. It's vital you hear tonight's broadcast. We have shocking video clips to play for you from Archbishop Vigano. Archbishop Vigano, obviously a Catholic archbishop. I would not agree with his theology. He would not agree with mine, or he would be a Protestant Bible-believing evangelical Christian, or I would be, if I agree with him, a Catholic. I'm not Catholic, and he and I would disagree theologically. But we certainly can be co-belligerents, as Francis Schaeffer called it, in opposing evil and globalism. And you're going to hear some shocking brand new video clips from him. We're also going to play shocking clips from the former head of the Vatican Bank. We're also going to play a shocking audio clip from 2015 from the former leader of Malaysia. Folks, they are saying what we have all been thinking, or what we have been saying here for many, many years. Whether it's my book, Grave Influence, that came out in 2009, Religious Trojan Horse, the next book, The Coming Religious Reich, my book, Marxianity, we've been warning what was coming. Many of you know I wrote this book over the course of a few years, and it came out in November of 2018, Marxianity. Vigano, the Archbishop, Catholic Archbishop, is warning of what Pope Francis, the Jesuit Marxist Pope, is doing. Many of you remember in December 2019, I started a whole series on information warfare and American Christians, and I went back and I showed you screenshots from books written by former Jesuit Malachi Martin. I showed you where he warned that the Jesuits had been taken over by the communists. He resigned, effective virtually his position, moved to New York, and he began in the 70s for sure. In the 70s, some of his most powerful books came out warning about the communist takeover of the Vatican through the Jesuits, and he's particularly mentioned the Masonic Lodges working in concert with the Jesuits and high finance and politicians. Now, you would have to believe that Vigano has been reading Malachi Martin, the former Jesuit, because you're going to hear him tonight in video clips that are just a few days old, warning about the very things that I, as a Protestant Bible-believing Christian, have been warning you about for several years as well. Many of you will remember that I did a whole four one-hour shows on the Jesuits. It's probably time for me to repeat those 4 1-hours. But Vigano, Archbishop Vigano, is warning about those things as well. What we're going through, if you look at my screen here, is part three of the great collapse that will lead to the great Reset, the great collapse that will lead to the great reset. This is part three tonight. The seven F's to control and collapse. The seven F's to control and collapse. And we know that those are what? Number one, forced vaccinations. Two, finances. Three, food. Four, our First Amendment, the elimination of our First Amendment, freedom of speech, freedom of religion. Five, firearms. In other words, the confiscation of our firearms, the elimination of the Second Amendment. Six, foreign invasion. And seven, family health care. These are the seven F's. Now, again, I was warning about some of this in my book in 2009 that came out. Warning about this years before. In fact, in 1992, I began to report on the Earth Summit in Rio that was held in 1992, the Earth Summit in Rio that George H. Bush got America into and launched what was known then as, at the United Nations, at the Earth Summit, headed up by Maurice Strong, Agenda 21. It's now been called Agenda 2030. So I've been warning about that with friends of mine like Tom DeWeese of the American Policy Center since 1992. Agenda 21, sustainable development. And of course, people said that's crazy, that's conspiracy talk, that's nut talk. But this is exactly what, of course, even Donald Trump campaigned on in part, mentioning Agenda 21 when he was running for president. Maurice Strong, the head of the Earth Summit in Rio, is the one that said the only hope for the civilized world is that the industrialized civilization's collapse. Isn't it our responsibility to bring that about? That was Maurice Strong, a pantheist. He believed in all is God. God is in all, panentheism. He was into mysticism, into New Age, if you will. Well, again, I started warning about that in 92 after the Earth Summit in Rio in 1992. But in my book, Grave Influence, here is what I wrote. This book, again, came out in 2008. Quote, sorry, I wrote it in 2008, came out in 2009. By design of these agents of change, sustainable development is difficult to define, but it involves the promotion of socialism, global governance, folks, that's world government, planned economies, and the end of individual liberties. Are we seeing that today? Absolutely. From the 1992 Earth Summit came two documents, Agenda 21, now called Agenda 2030, folks, and the Biodiversity Treaty. Tom DeWeese of the American Policy Center has been one of America's leading opponents of the freedom-robbing agenda in these two platforms. He summarizes the threat this way, quote, here the ideas were officially presented to world leaders that all government on every level needed to be transformed into top-down control over housing, food production, energy, water, private property, education, population control. Wait, what? Population control. Are we seeing that today? Gun control, transportation, social welfare, medical care, and literally every aspect of our lives. To get the full picture, add to these the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child and the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, both of which create UN mandates on abortion, child rearing, and government interference on families. And then in that book, I went on to warn, as I have in many broadcasts over the years, about active euthanasia. Active euthanasia. In fact, you'll see this screenshot. Back in 2009, it did a series, 26 similarities between America and Nazi Germany. I remember when I did this back in 2009, some people thought, well, that's a little over the top, isn't it? You would not question these 26 similarities today. The problem is for those of us that study the trends and know what's coming and warn about them in advance. We're almost always by the uninitiated, by the unintelligent or the ill-informed, we're always called names, you know, doom and gloom, fear-mongers, conspiracy theorists. And then when it's finally on top of them, people wonder, how on earth did this happen? Because they don't generally want to listen to those who are lifting up a shout of warning in advance. It seems too extreme. It seems implausible until it's on top of them. Then once it's on top of them, they believe it. But then, is it too late? In many cases, it is. But in 2009, I did a whole series on 26 similarities between America and Nazi Germany. That led me to writing my book that came out, I think, in 2015, The Coming Religious Reich. Reich meaning empire or kingdom. So again, look at that screenshot. 26 similarities between America and Nazi Germany. This is a radio show I did in 2015. Part 5 was this series here. On this episode, Brandon reveals new information on how the eugenics program in America was exported to Nazi Germany, How is eugenics still practiced today, and in what form? Brandon reveals how school-to-work education programs that involve the government picking career paths for students is eugenics among the living. Sustainable development also hides the horror of eugenics, and Brandon explains how. So you will see that for a long time I have been warning about sustainable development, Agenda 21, now called Agenda 2030, active euthanasia, population control, global governance, the New World Order, their words, not mine. Well, today in my research for tonight's broadcast, I stumbled upon shocking video clips by this man right here. This, again, is Archbishop Vigano. Now, he was put into his authority and position that he has today by Pope John Paul II. He has been a very vocal critic of Marxist Jesuit Pope Francis. And now, like last year, this year, he is warning about how the pandemic has been orchestrated to implement global governance, to destroy individuals, to use these created emergencies to implement world government, to strip away individual rights and liberties, to pervert the purpose of the law and the laws of nature and nature's God, natural law. He has some shocking clips. Now, this is like an hour and a half that he spoke. I'm not going to have time to get through all these clips tonight. Throughout this week, on my normal show, Brandon House Live, Monday through Friday at Lindell TV, I will be playing more of these clips. But I'm going to get started tonight with some of them. Again, I am not Catholic. I don't hold to Catholic theology and doctrine. If I held to his beliefs theologically, I'd be a Catholic. If he held to mine, as I said earlier, he'd be a Protestant Bible-believing, you know, dispensationalist. But I can agree with what this guy is saying without having to agree with his doctrine, right? His teaching. The word doctrine means teaching. I want to know why it takes a Catholic archbishop to speak this level of truth, and yet we have useful idiots of the Biden regime like Pastor Robert Jeffress. Now, Jeffress may not see himself, the pastor of First Baptist Church of Dallas, as being a useful idiot of the Biden administration, but that's what he has become, whether he knows it or not, I believe. When he runs around pushing the vax and saying there is no legitimate reason for a religious exemption letter, whether you have Franklin Graham running around and pushing it, I'd like to know why it takes as a Protestant evangelical. And the word evangelical, by the way, now means nothing. As a Bible-believing conservative Christian, that's probably a better way. I'd like to know why it takes the Archbishop Vigano to say what he's saying. Where are the Protestant leaders? Where are the pastors? Where are the men of courage saying what this Archbishop is going to say tonight? Sadly, many of them are educated beyond their intelligence. When I have tried to tell some of the leading pro-family leaders in America in the 90s and early 2000s what was coming, they discounted it all. Now they want to lead the parade. Now they want to lead the parade and warn about social justice and critical race theory when they mocked us back in the 90s and 2000s. They only want to lead the parade when the culture finally understands and wakes up to it so they can have a fundraising letter. That's not leadership. That's not leadership. I want to know again, as a Protestant, conservative, Bible-believing Christian, where are the Christian leaders on our side saying what Vigano is saying as a Catholic archbishop? Let's get right away to our first clip. I'm going to have to minimize the screen here and bring his clips up because I'm going to run these from my side tonight because we're going to roll through them and I want to have control of what's happening. So here is the first clip tonight by Vigano. These were made just a few days ago. Here's the first clip.
Hello. I'm Robert Moynihan. I'm an American journalist. I've been covering the Vatican for 30 years. Mm-hmm. The pontificate of John Paul II, his contest with the Soviet Union, his battle over the culture, the election of Pope Benedict.
Louder.
His pontificate. And then the election of Pope Francis, and these last 8 years.
Perfect.
I have many different contacts and friends in the church, and among them was Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano, I came to know him many years ago. But in the past 3 years, this archbishop, an Italian archbishop who is now 80 years old, has become perhaps the single most controversial figure in the Roman Catholic Church. For that reason, I find it imperative to understand how this high-ranking church official could have become such a profound critic, not only of corruption in the church, but also of doctrinal confusion, the entire pontificate of Pope Francis, and finally, in recent months, a criticism also of the secular developments, the virus, the vaccines, the global plan for a single global community. And he has reached beyond his traditional area of expertise to become one of the voices in the world today who is most compelling, most controversial, and most interesting on understanding where we are right now in 2021 after the year and a half of the virus and after many decades of modernity have changed not only the Catholic Church, but also the Protestant churches, also Judaism. So what do you think about the current pandemic and about the current confusion and crisis in the Catholic Church under the leadership of Pope Francis?
It now seems clear to me that we are facing a siege on both the social and religious front. The so-called emergency pandemic has been utilized as a false pretext to impose the vaccination and the Green Pass in many nations of the world in a simultaneous and coordinated way. At the same time, on the other front, not only do the ecclesiastical authorities not condemn in the least the abuse of power by those who govern public affairs, but they support them in this wicked plan and go so far as to condemn those who do not accept being subjected to inoculation with an experimental gene serum with unknown side effects that does not impart any immunity from the virus, to say nothing of the moral implications related to the presence of genetic material derived from aborted fetuses, which for a Catholic is itself a more than sufficient reason to refuse the vaccine. We are at war, a war that is not openly declared, that is not fought with conventional weapons, but a war all the same, in which there are aggressors and aggressees, executioners and victims, kangaroo courts and prisoners. A war in which violence is used in ostensibly legal forms in order to violate the rights of citizens as well as believers. It is an epochal war that is a prelude to the end times and the great apostasy spoken of in Sacred Scripture.
Well, isn't that interesting? Because he seems to know more truth than your average pansy in the pulpit in the Protestant world today. I'm not a big fan of most pastors, as you can probably tell, because most of them aren't really pastors. They're hirelings. Jesus spoke about this disgusting group of people. Hirelings, John 10. They don't care about the sheep. They flee when the thief comes. I love pastors, but I have no time for hirelings. There are many wonderful real pastors or shepherds out there. But many of them carry that title today, pastor. They're not pastors. They're hirelings. They don't care about the sheep. They're interested in nickels and noses. How many rear ends they can put in the seat and how much they can fill up their coffers. They will sacrifice truth for the almighty dollar because they serve manna, not God. And yet this man here has more handle on some truth than many of them do. He says, we are under siege. Well, that's interesting because I released an 8.5-hour documentary called Siege in December of 2019. That's what I called it, Siege. 8.5 hours. You can watch an hour for free at siegethemovie.com. He said, we are at war. Well, we are at war. We are already in a civil war. People think that shooting is what's involved in a civil war. That's how a civil war often ends. We're not in a hot civil war, but yet the killing has already started, as you will hear tonight. He spoke of executioners and victims, the violation of the rights of the citizens, and the prelude to the end of times, and particularly the apostasy that will lead to that. That's interesting, apostasy. That word means a falling away from traditionally held biblical beliefs, apostasy, false teaching. And indeed, much of what we are seeing today coming out of the media, high finance, the Jesuits, as he'll get into, many of our religious leaders today, is an apostasy, a falling away from traditionally held biblical beliefs, or even if I could expand it a little more, traditionally held Judeo-Christian beliefs when it comes to such things as the purpose of government as created by God that is described in the Bible as a tool for maintaining a stable and just society that rewards the righteous and punishes the wicked. We have fallen away from the traditional definition, practice, and understanding and function of government. We've fallen away from the traditional biblical definition of family and church government. We have let go what is the issue at the center now in much of our conversations, and that is, what is the meaning of life, the sanctity of life? We have had a great falling away from the traditionally held Judeo-Christian values of the laws of nature and nature's God. And so isn't it interesting that he seems to understand more than many of our Protestant leaders? Where are they today? Where have all the shepherds gone? Here is the next clip by Archbishop Vigano. Watch this.
Archbishop, you've spoken in very stark terms about an undeclared war, and you've spoken about grave dangers, but you've emphasized that you see a type of coordination between the globalists, as we may call them, the architects of this New World Order, and the Catholic Church with Pope Francis. How can we explain what seems to be a new alliance?
The alliance that you mentioned is not between state and church, but between the deep state and the deep church, that is, the degenerated components present within each. The state has at his hands the bonum commune with respect to both the natural law as well as the divine and positive law. The church has at her hand the salus animarum with respect to the unchanging teaching of Christ. It is obvious that rulers are not pursuing the common good when they expose a population to experimentation without scientific basis, even in the face of evidence of the vaccine's ineffectiveness and the damage it causes to those who have received it. And it is equally obvious that the ecclesiastical hierarchy, insofar as it lends itself to supporting this massacre plan on the global level, is an accomplice to a crime against humanity, and even more, to a very grave sin against God. The Bergoglian synedrin is clearly integral to the plan of the Great Reset. On one hand, because it is pursuing ends that have nothing to do with the purpose of the Catholic Church. And in the other, because it's hoped that its complicity can bring it some sort of political and economic advantage in view of the new order. This criminal complicity is there for all to see, and is further proven by Bergoglio's obsessive vaccination campaign, which by means of moral blackmail want to impose inoculation with an experimental genetic serum on everybody. In recent day, he has gone as far as to involve cardinals and bishops from both North and South America in this shameful propaganda, including Archbishop Gomez of Los Angeles, the president of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. They too bear responsibility for a grave crime against humanity. Such as scandalous subservience of prelates to the infernal globalistic agenda has been surpassed only by the recent heretical rants of Bergoglio himself.
Wow. The globalist agenda is, and then he goes and talks about the rants of Pope Francis. He's using Pope Francis and his given name. You notice he never refers to him as the Pope. He says we're talking about the New Order and Pope Francis. He says he talks about the deep state and the deep church. That's very fascinating because, as you know, this is a brand new recording by Archbishop Vigano. And I wrote this book, Marxianity, in 2017 and 18, and it came out in November 2018. Marxianity, Marxism and Christianity merge, which is liberation theology. Liberation theology is the merging of Christianity with Marxism. The Jesuits are big into that. He's going to talk about the Jesuits in a minute and Pope Francis. And the subtitle of my book is called How the Evangelical Deep State. Now notice he's talking about the deep state and deep church. He calls it the deep church. The deep state and the deep church. In other words, a group of people deep inside the church that are doing the bidding along with the globalist deep state. Well, my book, Marxianity, subtitled How the Evangelical Deep State and Their Useful Idiots are merging Marxism and Christianity through social justice, white privilege, cultural Marxism, illegal immigration, interfaith dialogue, and more. Now, let me just say real quick, this book went out of print a few weeks ago. So many people have continued to order it that I decided to reprint and print several thousand copies, and this time to give away, basically, for not $20, what we were selling it for, and this book's 336 pages, but to sell it for $4.99. This is not a money-making thing here, people. I had no intentions of reprinting it. We don't really have the time, to be honest with you, to even fill the orders. We're so busy. Our staff is stretched slim. But so many are asking for it. I said, fine, then let's push it out there and let's educate as many people as possible and let's try to cover our cost of printing it and the people we have to pay to pack it up. $4.99. Now, it will not be to us from the printer until the end of this month. So I've again asked you not to order it if you don't have the patience to wait for it, because we don't have time when people email us, say, where's my order? And then we have to pay someone to stop what they're doing, go look up your order, only to find out you ordered a book for $4.99 while we pay someone $20 to go an hour to go look up your order, when it clearly states on the website it won't be out to the end of October and you're getting a pre-order. And I've said, don't do that to us and make me regret making this available for $4.99. So now I have to pay people that I pay $20 an hour, because that's what the market bears now, to even have workers go look up your order, because you're too irresponsible to read the big print. And again, as I said when I warned you, I'm only speaking to about 1% of you. And yet, what have we found ourselves doing the last few days? Stopping what we're doing to go look up an order of a book that's not supposed to be even in our warehouse to the end of the month. So I'm being pretty tough tonight, because we try to do stuff for people and they take advantage of us. So do not do this. You're ordering a book for $4.99 to understand the Marxism and Christianity merging, and it's not going to be out to us till the end of October, and then we'll ship it. Again, I'm only speaking to about 1% of this audience. The rest of you, 99%, get it. But this is what I was warning about, this deep, and by the way, you can order that at wvwtv.com/store, wvwtv.com/store, wvwtv.com/store. Logan, you can put that on the screen if you want. But in this book and in other books like Religious Trojan Horse, The Coming Religious Reich, I warn about the deep church, just as Vigano is warning about a deep church. I was warning about a deep church and using that very same phrase inside the evangelical world, because there was a guy that wrote a book called Deep Church. And you know what he was defining when he defined the deep church? The merging of conservatives, so-called, with progressives. Conservatives with progressives. That's Marxianity. And they were calling it the deep church. And, of course, we know the deep state. And so Vigano's warning about the deep state and the deep church. He warns about an experimental drug with no scientific basis. In fact, in the face of evidence that the vaccine, so-called, is doing so much damage. He calls it a massacre, a crime against humanity. He chides Pope Francis for his involvement in the Great Set and this genetic serum that the globalists are pushing. Again, these are brand new clips, folks, and he's saying stuff that you and I know to be true. Where are the other leaders of the religious world saying these same things? Let's go to the next clip.
We see the ecclesiastical hierarchy, with some exception, completely integral to the go-bloodistic plan of the elite, and not only on the earth issue, but also and above all, on what concerns the Great Reset and the entire ideological structure on which it is based.
All right, so he's talking about the Great Reset, which is what our series here is about. The Great Collapse is necessary for the Great Reset. This is part three. The Great Collapse is necessary for the Great Reset. And of course, for the new folks, I'll just mention again as I get ready to cue up the next clip, because we have to move quickly. The Great Reset is being pushed by Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum. They make it very clear that what they're doing is merging big government and big business. What do you call the merging of big government and big business? Corporate fascism. Again, in my book in 1995, I warned that America was moving toward corporate fascism, big government and big business merging. That book was called Reclaiming a Nation at Risk. I warned about social credit scores, hiring, firing, job promotions, all based on your social credit score. What do we see today? But notice that he is talking about the Great Reset by Klaus Schwab. They call it public-private partnerships. Public-private partnerships. That's big government, big business. Public, government, private businesses. Public-private partnerships. Remember, they have said that you'll own nothing and be happy. Let's go to the next clip.
The fourth revolution theorized by Klaus Schwab and the family of international finance find in Bergoglio.
Whoa.
Not a new
child. Whoa, let's stop right there. He says, notice he doesn't call him Pope Francis. He keeps using his given name. And they have found a partner in him, Pope Francis. But he doesn't use that name. He uses his given name. So let's keep rolling.
Spectator, which would itself already be an unheard of thing. But actually, a zealous cooperator who abuses his own moral authority in order to support ad extra, outside the church, the project of the dissolution of traditional society. While ad intra within the church, he pursues the project of the demolition of the church in order to replace her with a philanthropic organization of Masonic inspiration.
Oh, wow. He goes after the Masonic. He goes after the Masonic Lodge. Now, some of you may say, what is that all about? Well, let me just tell you something, folks. Any of you that watched my presentation back in 2019 know exactly what he's talking about. Look at the screenshot. Here is a book, The Final Conclave, written by Malachi Martin. I might have said Martin Malachi a while ago. Malachi Martin. This is what I warned you about in my TV series, Information Warfare and the American Christian, back in December of 2019. Notice, before this all began with the great plandemic, I was already telling you who the players were, right? This series I did on this was December 2019. I started that series. And I told you about Malachi Martin's book, The Final Conclave. Now, remember, Malachi Martin was a Jesuit who decided that the Jesuits, Marxist, liberation theology, merging Christianity with Marxism, was a great threat, and that they were working to take over the Vatican, take over the papacy, and to usher in world government. And he asked for a leave from his duties, and he moved to New York, and he began to write best-selling books. Look at the screenshot again. The Final Conclave, Malachi Martin, written in 1978 to warn of the communist influence on the Vatican. Notice the hammer and sickle, and then the picture of the Pope at the time. He wrote this book, The Keys of This Blood. Pope John Paul II versus Russia and the West for Control of the World Order. He writes in this book, some idea of the confessional enmity entertained by Masonry for the Roman papacy can be gleaned from the permanent instruction drawn up a few years ago after the Congress of Vienna in 1819 to 1820 by the French, Austrian, German, and Italian Grand Masters of the Lodge, end quote. Now, before I read that to you, let me explain. Here you have Vigano, the Archbishop Vigano, warning that Pope Francis is openly working for the Great Reset as a zealous promoter, and this is high finance, politicians, and Freemasonry. The Masonic sects. Most people look at that and say, what? Because they think about maybe their father, or their grandfather, or someone belonging, and they were at the lower levels of Freemasonry and had no clue really what it was about at the lower levels until they moved up and are fully initiated in its occultism and secret society. Now, many people pass this off as conspiracy theory. Let me tell you something. Jesuit Malachi Martin, Archbishop Vigano, and so many others, including many, many, many former Masons, would not be warning you about this if this was a great, silly conspiracy, in that it was, you know, boogeyman kind of crazy talk. They have far many real enemies and threats to just be trying to create them. Truth is stranger than fiction. They don't need to go around making this stuff up, and they're not. They know exactly what they're talking about, and Malachi Martin warned about it. Let's go back to the screen. This is from the conference of the Masonic Lodges from, again, the French, Austrian, German, Italian Grand Masters of the Lodge, 1819 to 1820. Here's what they wrote. Quote, we must turn our attention to the idea that has always been of concern to men aspiring to the regeneration of all mankind, the liberation of the entire world, and the establishment of the Republic of Brotherhood and World Peace. Among the many remedies, there is one which we must never forget, the total annihilation of Catholicism and even of Christianity. What we must wait for is a pope suitable for our purposes, because with such a pope, we can effectively crush the rock on which God built his church, end quote. Let me just stop right there. Now, I do not believe, as does the Archbishop, who'll mention in a minute, that Christ built his church on Peter And thus, Peter was the first pope. Petros, Petros, little rock, little stone, versus Petra, Petra, on which Christ would build his church. Go look at the text and the wording in the original. Okay? Peter is not the Petra. He was the Petros, the little stone. Petros, Petros, I think is how you say it. The little stone. So Catholic doctrine teaches that Peter was the first pope upon which the Catholic Church is built. I do not believe that. That's not my understanding of the scripture. And I understand that's Catholic doctrine, but I want to make very clear why they say it and why I disagree with it. But moving on. This is what the Masons write, 1819 to 1820. They're going to destroy the Catholic Church, and they're going to destroy Christianity. And they're going to wait for a pope who they can use for their purposes to do this. Seek a pope fitting our description. Induce the clergy to march under your banner in the belief that they are marching under the papal banner. So they're going to march on the banner of the Freemasons, think they're marching under the banner of the pope. Make the younger secular clergy and even the religious receptive to our doctrines. Within a few years, this same younger clergy will of necessity occupy responsible positions. Some will be called upon to elect a future pope. This pope, like most of his contemporaries, will be influenced by those humanitarian principles which we are now circulating. The medieval, Almachimus, lost both time and money to realize the dream of the Philosopher's Stone, the dream of the secret societies to have a pope as their ally, will be made real for the very simple reason that it is founded on human passions. The Masons, but let me just end quote, make sure you understand, that's the end of that quote from 1819 to 1820. Those are the Freemasons from the lodges of the French, the Austrian, the German, the Italian Grand Lodges writing. They're going to take over the Catholic Church, get a pope of their liking, indoctrinate the young clergy till they will help them elect such a pope that they can use to destroy the Catholic Church and even Christianity itself. Now you want to know why Archbishop Vigano is warning about the Freemasons working in concert. This is exactly what former Jesuit Pope Malachi Martin warned about, which is why he left his position, went to New York, started writing books. Even some of his books were fiction, but they were really factional books. Fiction, but teaching fact. And if you knew who the players were, you would know who the characters were in his so-called fictional books. He goes on to write in his book, The Keys of the Blood, the Masons, it would seem, had stolen a march on Antonio Gramsci. Antonio Gramsci, by the way, is the Italian communist. He's the Italian communist that told Mussolini, you're going about it all the wrong way. You can't have revolution at the end of the gun. You have to change their heart and mind, the long march through the institutions. Mussolini didn't like that. Threw the Italian communist Antonio Gramsci in jail, where he wrote his Gramsci prison letters. The Italian communist Gramsci was read by the Frankfurt School guys, the Marxist Frankfurt School guys in Frankfurt, Germany, who came here to America in 1933 with the help of John Dewey, the father of progressive education in America, who signed the Humanist Manifesto, who helped drop them down, the Marxist from the Frankfurt School in Germany, who read Antonio Gramsci, dropped them down at Brandeis, Berkeley, Princeton, and helped to have a cultural revolution in America known as cultural Marxism. But they couldn't call it that, so it ended up being called like political correctness. But this is that Antonio Gramsci that then Malachi Martin's warning, the Masons have stolen the playbook of Italian communist Antonio Gramsci with the long march through the institutions. He goes on to write, for both Marxists and Masons, however, different and opposed, they may be politically are at one. So the Marxists and the Masons may be opposed, but politically they're going to unite for their common goal. And that's what you have with the Jesuits, many of them who are Marxists, liberation theology, and Masons. He goes on to say, Marxism and Masonry transcend both of them, individuals and nations, and human years and centuries. He goes on to say, the two groups had more in common than secrecy, however, from the writings and records of speculative Masonry, it is clear that the central religious tenet became a belief in the great architect of the universe. That's what Freemasonry teaches, the great architect of the universe. Rather than the great architect Rather, the great architect was immanent to and essentially a part of the mastral cosmos, a product of the enlightened mind. In other words, we're now getting into New Age occultism. Then he wrote a book called Windswept House. This was a novel, but it was really a factional book, fiction and fact. The description said, the Cold War has ended. Again, this is written by a former Jesuit who's trying to warn the world that Jesuits are going to take over the papacy and push globalism. One World Order, the New World Order, their words. The description of this book, now remember, he's dead now. The Cold War has ended with a scope and daring not possible till now, an unlikely international alliance of top-level political, financial, and religious interests sees the way clear at last to its ultimate goal, the establishment of a single global society, utopia. By the way, folks, are political, financial, and religious groups merging today? That's the three-legged stool that I've been warning you about in my book, Grave Influence, Religious Trojan Horse, The Coming Religious Reich, Marxianity. That three-legged stool, big government, big business, and religion. I don't care if you want to say political, government, finance, big business, or religion. It's the same thing, the three-legged stool. Go to Revelation 17 and 18. What do you see? Particularly Revelation 18, the three-legged stool. Big government, big business, and religion. Big government, big business, and spirituality. I don't care if you call them prime ministers, kings, or if you call it spirituality, or if you call it commerce. It's still big government, big business, and spirituality. And Revelation 18 tells us this will be the three-legged stool of world government, of Satan's kingdom on earth, known as the New World Order. And here is Malachi Martin warning about this in his books. And what do we see today? Just the same thing that Archbishop Vigano is warning about in a minute. These players, the Marxists, the Jesuits, finance, big business, spirituality. Malachi Martin's book goes on to define, these are men, remember, this is written years ago. These are men with nothing in common but immense power and towering ambition for still more. With world unity and prosperity as their slogan, and with betrayal, scandal, and murder as their ready weapons, they have the means and the will to capture as their own the perfect global machinery for their plans. The oldest, wiliest, and most stable political chancery in the world, the Vatican. At the vortex of this lethal struggle stands the embattled Pope, a geopolitical genius whose elimination is the short-term solution to a long-term goal, and two American brothers, Paul and Kristen Gladstone, one a lawyer and the other a priest, who appear to be the perfect pawns. One falls prey to the sharp teeth of greed and power, and he goes on from there. Go down to the bottom. From America to Europe to Russia, in broad landscapes and clandestine quarters, a rich and varied cast, presidents and politicos, simple saints and savvy sinners, popes and pope markers clash with one another amid dramatic and sometimes bloody events that will affect the destiny of every person alive today. Now, this is a fictional book because he didn't dare write it and use the real names. He knew to better than that. And he's warning in his fictional book, that's really factional, about what's coming. And it sounds a lot like Archbishop Vigano has been reading for years, probably, Malachi Martin, when he warns that this includes Pope Francis, the Jesuits, Big Pharma, the media, big business, spirituality, and the Masons. Watch this next clip from Vigano.
The persecution we are witnessing today is no different from that of decades past. But now it has been extended to the masses. While previously it focuses on individuals and the ruling class. This applied to both, to civil and ecclesiastical world, confirming the pactum celeri, the criminal conspiracy between the deep state and the deep church. It seems to me that in this conspiracy, the role of the Jesuit has been decisive. It is no coincidence that, for the first time in history, a religious of the Society of Jesus is seated on the throne of Peter.
All right. a Jesuit is the Pope. Isn't he said, isn't it's no coincidence that that a Jesuit is the Pope. Now, again, I'm going to disagree with him that the Pope is not sitting on the seat of Peter. I do not believe Peter was the foundation upon which the church was built. I don't believe he was the first Pope. But again, that's the difference between an evangelical conservative Bible believing dispensationalist Christian and that of a Archbishop Catholic. Okay, so we're gonna disagree there. Again, the word used for Peter was Petros, little rock, little stone, versus Petra, upon which Christ built the church. Now, what I do agree with him on is that there is a merging of the civil and the ecclesiastical. The civil and the ecclesiastical. He again repeats the deep state and the deep church. The deep state, a fifth column, which would include an intelligence world as well, working in concert with high levels of religion. And then, of course, he says the Jesuits have been a decisive player in this role. And don't you find it interesting that at this time we find ourselves with a Jesuit sitting as the Pope? Now, what's shocking, folks, is I have been telling you this stuff for years. And my liberal detractors, well, House, he's anti-Catholic. House, he's an anti-Catholic bigot. Some of my closest friends are Catholics. I don't agree with that theology. If I did, I'd be a Catholic. If they agree with my theology and doctrine that I get from the Bible, they would be what I am, an evangelical conservative Bible-believing Christian. But I have many Catholic friends. Many of us agree on many of the key issues of economics, where this country's going, why it's wrong. And yes, we have spirited and friendly theological debates. But the left inside the Protestant world and the left inside the Catholic world has tried to say I'm somehow an anti-Catholic bigot for pointing out, shockingly, the very same thing that former Jesuit Malachi Martin pointed out in his books and speeches and writings, as well as current Archbishop Vigano. Wow, well, maybe Vigano, at the end of the day, is really an anti-Catholic bigot. Or maybe he's speaking the truth. Because there is a war inside the Protestant church between the left and the right. That's why I wrote the book, Marxianity. That's why I think you need to get a copy of it to understand who these players are and what they're doing. That's why I'm willing to reprint it and make it available, not for $20, but for $4.99. Because I want you not to be deceived. I could easily reprint it and sell it for $20. But what is a little bit more money selling books versus educating people to not be deceived so we might save people's souls from this great deception and at the same time maybe buy ourselves a little more time for our children and grandchildren from being literally confiscated and imprisoned? Because that's where we're going, folks. So I'm pushing it out there again for $4.99, and you can get a copy for free, for $4.99 at wvwtv.com/store, wvwtv.com/store. But notice again, Vigano is warning about what's going on in the Catholic Church with the left, just as I have warned about what's going on in the Protestant world. But the left in the Catholic Church and the left in the Protestant world wants to call us names for exposing them. And one of them they like to use on me is anti-Catholic or conspiracy theorist. I don't know what they call this man, the Archbishop. I'm sure they have a lot of names for him. But he's speaking truth about these topics of which I've told you I agree with him on. And I've been presenting those same things for years. Listen to his next clip.
We cannot turn to a politician expecting them to revoke the violation of our fundamental freedoms if they are the very ones voting for those violations in parliament, because they obey those who pay them or blackmail them.
All right, so the politicians are blackmailed and bought off. And again, haven't we been telling you guys that for so many years? And by the way, let me just add, many of our religious leaders in the Protestant world are blackmailed and bought off. They're bought off by government money. In this book, Marxianity, I have a whole chapter on how I document, uncovered, how the Catholic Church and now the Protestant Church is making big money from local, state, and federal government contracts. And I talk and explain how the church won't have to be persecuted. They'll be purchased. Purchased. They get local, state, and federal contracts for social services like immigration, resettlement, now COVID testing, COVID shots, all this stuff that social services being handed out. Now your local church can do this and get big money, local, state, and federal money. And I warned about it in this book, Marxianity. They've been bought off in the Protestant world as well. Blackmailed, and many of our politicians have as well. So he says, don't expect the politicians to save you from this. Many of them are up to their eyeballs in this, and many of them have been bought off, and they have been blackmailed. Let's go to our next clip.
Those who dissent, that is, those who do not accept this turn into Guinea pigs and seeing the world population decimated by transforming it into a mass of chronically ill, must understand that the disobedience is just as necessary as it was at the time of other dictatorship of the last century, and even more so. It is disconcerting that after having built the rhetoric of the post-World War II era on the anti-Nazism, no one seems to recognize that the same discrimination that made concentration camp possible is now arising again in a more ruthless form. One wonders whether the totalitarianism regimes of the 20th century did not constitute a preparatory experiment for what is happening today, starting with the state of Israel.
Wow. We're guinea pigs. Humanity is being used as guinea pigs with an experimental drug that's making people chronically ill. And what made concentration camps possible is rising again. And he says one has to wonder if the whole Nazi experiment was really about preparing for this day. Now, I wrote a book in 2015 called, 500 pages, The Coming Religious Reich. Reich means empire, kingdom. And I make the case that Satan does not know when the end of days will be. He does not know. He must have an antichrist figure for every generation, whether we're talking Alexander the Great, Nero, Hitler, you know, make your choice. He has to have an antichrist figure for every generation. I believe Hitler was the antichrist figure for that time. It was not God's accepted hour. So Satan being on a leash, God does not agree with evil, but he does allow evil things to happen. He allows it, but he doesn't cause it. He's not the source of evil. But living in a sinful, fallen world, God can and does use the sinful choices of man to accomplish his purposes, and he will use it to fulfill his ultimate purpose. But it was not God's time. Satan is on a leash, and he jerked him back. But I believe Satan was going for broke with Hitler. And I believe Hitler was a little prototype of the Antichrist or beast to come. In fact, the Bible says there'll be many little Antichrists before the beast is revealed. And that's why I wrote that book, The Coming Religious Reich, because there will be another Reich, empire, or kingdom, that of Satan. And he'll get his earthly kingdom. And I believe it will be based in Babylon, 58 miles south of Baghdad, even as I point out in that book, two Army War College professors calling for moving the United Nations to Babylon. Not too long ago, Pope Francis went to that region of the world and held some very important meetings. Everything is moving toward a Eurocentric world government as America is going down. And this is all a part of the great collapse that's necessary for the great reset. But notice he says it seems as though what happened with Nazi Germany was preparing for today. And when you go and you study the players, let's see, Prescott Bush, George H. Bush, his daddy, George W.'s grandfather. Go look up George Bush's daddy, George H., his dad. George W.'s grandfather, Prescott Bush. Did he not lose his banking charter working with the Nazis? Were the Rockefellers not involved in some of the things that were going on in the concentration camps there with medical experiments? Very much like the medical experiments occurring today. Were human rights not violated under the guise of science? The Rockefellers? How about lockstep? 2010, the Rockefeller lockstep plan, which, by the way, Archbishop Vigano talks about it. He talks extensively about lockstep and how the Rockefellers laid all this out in 2010, as we did some time ago as well. So the Rockefellers seem to have some connection back to what was going on in Nazi Germany, of course, today. In other words, are we really still fighting the Nazis, but it's a neo-Nazism? It's a neo, meaning word neo means new, a new kind of Nazism. And what marked the Nazis? The Nationalist Socialist Workers' Party. It was National Socialism. But what are we going for now? What they're going for now is International Socialism. What were they also involved in? Fascism. Big government, big business merging. Anti-Semitism. Is that rising? Yes. World domination. Dominion theology. Popular today. Occultism. Hitler was big into Mother Earth. Occultism. Alternative energy. The radical green agenda. Go read Dr. Mark Musser's book, The Nazi Ecology. Much of that was a dress rehearsal for what is coming, which is why I wrote that book, The Coming Religious Reich, to warn what was coming. And here is Archbishop Vigano saying, one has to wonder if that wasn't a rehearsal for what is now unfolding. Well, one certainly does have to wonder. Let's go to this last clip by Archbishop Vigano, and then I have two other startling clips before we conclude tonight. Watch this.
I believe that it is important to open people's eyes, showing them the deception we are facing. It is a deception based on false premises, artfully created and imposed in a dogmatic way to legitimize false solutions that have already been planned and implemented. The pandemic was intended to impose a social control that under normal conditions would be rejected with disdain by the masses, but which, thanks to the media terrorism and the complicity of doctors, politicians, magistrates, and law enforcement agencies, could be introduced in many nations and even in the ecclesiastical institution themselves. In Santa Marta, the resident where Bergoglio lives, one cannot eat at the cafeteria without a green pass. And in many Catholic schools and universities, the vaccines is required for all staff and students. Soon, they will ask us for the vaccine passport in order to travel, to enter public offices, to vote, and to go to church. I want to be very clear on this point. Without understanding the dimension of the problem, without understanding really the dimension of this problem, without recognizing its author and discerning its aims, we will never be able to get out of it.
So, again, Archbishop Vigano in the last few days made this recording. He said this was already planned, that social controls being implemented now would be rejected under normal conditions, so they use a crisis to get people to accept what they otherwise would never accept. That's exactly what I told you years ago from the quote by James McGregor Burns in his 1984 book, The Power to Lead. He said the founding fathers have been too smart for us, too shrewd, frail tinkering and bridges won't get the job done. Talking about the Constitution. The American people will only go where we want to go under a stupendous political and economic crisis. Well, that's exactly what they're doing. He talked about the media, media terrorism. I thought that was clever. Media terrorism. And he talked about doctors and the media and politicians. Then he talked about the green pass. And soon you'll have to have it to go to church, to vote, to travel. Well, again, he's warning you about many things that we've tried to warn you about. But over the years, from the Jesuits to the globalism. But notice, he can do it and get away with it, whereas so many of us are criticized and ridiculed. But I'm sure glad he's saying it. Now, we have another clip I want to play. I'm going to roll it, then I'll explain it. Watch this clip.
Si chiama Nuovo Ordine Economico Mondiale, fu concepito a fine anni 60, primi anni 70, colui che lo elaborò e lo presentò all'inizio fu Henry Kissinger. E era un reset vero e proprio, stiamo cercando di diciamo rivedere gli errori che sono stati fatti negli ultimi 50 anni. Dal primo reset o nuovo ordine economico mondiale che fu concepito negli anni 70, fondato su una serie di fatti che ignorano leggi naturali, quindi li chiamo, possiamo definire non tutti, non sempre naturali, e molto utopistici. Dopo 50 anni, questo reset fatto negli anni 70, grazie agli errori che ha prodotto, oggi chiede un secondo reset. Il reset di oggi, quello di cui si parla, il Great Reset, non è altro che una correzione aggiornata degli errori fatti negli ultimi 50 anni. Quindi grazie, prendendo l'occasione di questa situazione incresciosa che si chiama pandemia di Covid, ha la possibilità di accelerare e anche, se vogliamo, uso un'espressione forte, di imporre o far imporre determinati comportamenti. Però il reset di oggi è la correzione degli errori fatti del reset di ieri. Viene immaginata una proposta che è quella che ha provocato la grande crisi che ci portiamo dietro negli ultimi decenni. Troppe nascite e conseguentemente la necessità di ridimensionare il tasso di crescita della popolazione. Qual è stato il primo effetto vero, concreto, con cui si avvia questo processo? Il crollo delle nascite. Ma dove? Nell'Occidente. Il crollo della popolazione è stato nel cosiddetto mondo occidentale, Stati Uniti ed Europa soprattutto. Dire che va ridotto il numero della popolazione perché in questa opinione neomalthusiana ambientalista più gente nasce, più gente consuma, più gente spreca quello che la natura ci mette a disposizione.
So there you go. Now, I hope you could keep up with that translation on the screen. Let's go back to my PowerPoint. Former president of Vatican Bank, COVID is device for great reset. Isn't that what we just heard from also Archbishop Vigano? Comes from Rare Foundation USA. This gentleman made his remarks in an interview translated for the Rare Foundation. And he explains that the great reset is nothing more than the latest iteration of a radical neo-Malthusian worldview. The Malthusian worldview is that there is a limited resources and the population has to stay at a certain size or those resources will be depleted, and so we have to basically have a depopulation plan. Let's go back to the slide. This gentleman served as a time as president of the Secretive Institute for the Works of Religion, commonly known as the Vatican Bank, before he was ousted in 2012. According to The Economist, he was hired by former Pope Benedict to get rid of the accounts that were not supposed to be there and were sometimes used for money laundering purposes. Then he goes on to talk about the Kissinger Report, Henry Kissinger. He states that the dangerous globalist Henry Kissinger, who, by the way, is big on calling for a new world order, was pivotal in the conceptual new world economic order at the end of the 60s and the beginning of the 70s. The goal 50 years ago, just as is in the Great Reset now, is to drastically reduce the global population, dismantle the free market, meaning capitalism, and to erase all borders. And what have I been telling you in this series? The Great Collapse is necessary for the Great Reset. The collapsing of our borders. That's one of the seven F's, foreign invasion. One of the F's, finances. These guys are telling you what's coming, and these guys obviously are opposed to it. Now, the article goes on to say, Kissinger, now in his late 90s, is often mislabeled as a Republican as he served under American presidents Gerald Ford and Richard Nixon. It was during his time working in the Nixon administration that he was commissioned to study the so-called overpopulation. The result was the 1974 Kissinger Report, which was declassified on July 3rd, 1989, as instructed under President Ronald Reagan's executive order. Almost 50 years ago, the Kissinger Report praised the U.S. government for funding population control efforts in poor countries under the guise of family planning. And we all know what that means. That's abortion on demand, folks. That's the government of America funding the murder of babies globally. The report said, quote, over the past few years, U.S. government-funded population programs have played a major role in arousing interest in family planning in many countries and in launching and accelerating the growth of national family planning programs, end quote. That'd be Planned Parenthood, among others. The Rare Foundation goes on to write, how many decades must go by before Americans put a stop to their tax dollars being used for radical leftist initiatives? Now, this guy that was the former head of the Vatican Bank explains that Kissinger's initiative to properly depopulate the planet produced several mistakes, and therefore a second reset is needed today, which is taking advantage of the COVID pandemic. Rare Foundation USA has delved into the discredited theories of Thomas Robert Malthus, highlighting the parallels of Malthusian theories with that of other eugenicists or eugenics movements in the 20th century, including that of Margaret Sanger. She'd be the founder of Planned Parenthood, Adolf Hitler, and H.G. Wells. H.G. Wells, by the way, would be a Fabian socialist. Remember the Fabian socialists I tell you about all the time? The Fabian window created by George Bernard Shaw in 1910, creating a crisis. And at the top of the window, it says, remold it near to the heart's desire, the Fabian window. Well, H.G. Wells was a Fabian. Under this new socialist neo-Malthusian guys, the only way to preserve resources is to limit number of people inhabiting the world tomorrow. This effort is often deceptively veiled in the implementation of abortion, birth control, and other methods of sterilization to reduce the world's population. Can I ask you something? Are we going through a sterilization program right now? Because there are doctors that are saying that there are chemicals in these vaccines that will make young people sterile. Didn't Gates brag that his vaccines could decrease population? In early 2020, I did a whole series, two or three nights. And I thought, what is going on with these people? Bill Gates, Johns Hopkins, Tedros at the World Health Organization. I thought they have to be tied to eugenics. And curiosity oftentimes is what causes me to take a search engine and just type in what I'm interested in knowing. Tedros, the man at the World Health Organization, and eugenics. Johns Hopkins and eugenics. Bill Gates and eugenics. It's amazing if you just put something into a search engine, what you'll find. And I did a whole 2 1-hour TV shows showing you that all of these groups involved in pushing the pandemic and the coming vaccine at the time was not here yet at the time in early 2020, were all tied back to eugenics. population control. The slide goes on to say the perpetual goals of globalist elites, depopulation, destruction of free markets, and the erasing of borders must be resisted at all cost. Now, let me play another video for you. This is the former Prime Minister of Malaysia. His comments were back in 2015. Listen what the former Prime Minister of Malaysia said about the New World Order in what I'm told is 2015, a speech he made in 2015. Watch this.
Malaysia's former Prime Minister, Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, said that the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPPA, is a New World Order strategy by a powerful pact of people led by the US to dominate the world economy. Speaking at the international conference titled New World Order, Recipe for Peace or War, organized by the Perdana Global Peace Foundation, Dr. Mahathir said globalization and borderless trade are being used to establish a one world government.
Basically, it is about having a world government. We should abolish all states, all nations, all borders, but instead have only one world government. And that world government is to be by certain people, elites, people who are very rich, very intelligent, very powerful in many ways. They are the ones who will govern the world. There was not much talk about democracy or choice of leaders. Instead, there was to be a government by these elites who will impose their rules on everyone in this world. And for those who are unwilling to submit to them, there will be punishment. And the peace that we will get from this is the peace of the graveyard, because the intention also is to reduce the number of people in this world. At the time when the New World Order was enunciated, the population of this world was only 3 billion. The intention was to reduce it to 1 billion. Now the population of the world is 7 billion. There will be a need to kill many billions of people, or to starve them to death, or to prevent them from giving birth, in order to reduce the population of this world.
Well, there you go. He knows exactly what we've been writing and saying for years. And we're mocked for writing and saying and warning. He was saying it, apparently that was 2015. Let's go back to the slide. We're going to pick up in our next broadcast on these seven Fs. Forced vaccinations, which is where we've been. And then we moved on to finances. We took a little break right in the middle of this to bring you this breaking news. So we'll finish up on finances in our next show. Then food, First Amendment, firearms, foreign invasion, and family health care. The seven Fs that they're going to use and are using for control and collapse, because the great collapse is necessary for the great reset. As I conclude tonight, let me ask you this. I've been on the air for an hour and 20 minutes. I went over tonight. Would you hear this on Fox News? I bet you if you ran into Sean Hannity on the road and on the street and asked him, "Hey, Sean, what's sustainable development?" He'd look at you like a calf looking at a new gate. I bet you he has no clue what sustainable development is or Agenda 21. Most of the people at these national news outlets, they are controlled opposition. They may not have turned out that way, meaning that they didn't set out to be controlled opposition, but that's what they became, controlled opposition, whether they know it or not. Many of these guys, I think, in my opinion, have reached a place financially where they could bolt and come join us or start their own network. Last night I had, or Friday night, I had my friend Usama Dakdak on. He talked about how he tried to call in and speak the truth to Mark Levin about Islam, and he hung up on him. Try getting on Mark Levin's show or Sean Hannity's show on Fox News and talk about machines and vaccines, much less what we talked about tonight. This is one of the few outlets where we can actually tell you the truth, uncensored. Free speech. So much of what is happening today goes back to what I've been saying to you in regards to brainwashing, information operation, psychological warfare. If you want to understand this and overcome it, you have got to know the truth. Again, that's why I'm willing to reprint this book. Again, it went out of print. I had no desire to reprint it. I thought, well, there's the PDF. They can order and download the PDF, but so many people still want a hard copy to give out and pass out. So I said, okay, fine, we'll reprint it, Marxianity, Marxism and Christianity merging, just as Archbishop Vigano was talking about tonight, the merging of big government, big business, pharmaceutical, media. There's a Marxianity today, Marxism and Christianity being merged in the Protestant world as well. So I said, okay, fine, we'll reprint it, but we won't sell it for $20. We'll sell it for $4.99. By the time we pay someone to pack this up, process the card, folks, this is not a money-making thing. We're just trying to inform you so you're not deceived. Or for many of you who are regular listeners, you already know this. This is so you can give it to your family and friends. Because you know what? One of my friends tried giving this when it came out in November 2018 to a friend. He wouldn't read it. Now his friend is asking him for a copy. And he called me up, and I had to say, I'm sorry, I have no more copies. And after that interaction with him and a few others, I said, fine, we'll reprint some copies, but instead of selling it for $20, we'll sell it for $4.99. You need to be educated, or you and your family and your friends are going to be deceived by this Marxianity. And the Great Reset, as you've already heard from Vigano, has a huge spiritual component to it. Again, the book is subtitled How the Evangelical Deep State and Their Useful Idiots Are Merging Marxism and Christianity Through Social Justice, White Privilege, Cultural Marxism, Illegal Immigration, Interfaith Dialogue, and more. You can get a copy. And again, I made it $4.99, hoping you'd buy quantities to give away at wvwtv.com/store. wvwtv.com/store. Now, here's the other thing I'm going to ask you to do. Because again, you're not going to hear this on Fox. We have to have your support. Do you know how many hours it takes to get ready for this TV show and to do all this research? And it's a Sunday night, and here we are working, and Logan is here, and we're streaming this out, and the bandwidth bill, and all the other expenses. So you got two ways to support what we're doing. Here are the two ways in closing. If you say, I really appreciate the work this guy does, I'm really thankful to have this outlet, then here's what I'm going to ask you to do something for us. See, you would never show up at a beautiful banquet and eat this beautiful meal laid out for you at a fine restaurant and then walk out and not pay the bill, would you? Well, some of you, you can't help us. I understand that. And the meal is free. But we feed you over and over and over. But at some point, someone has to pay the tab to keep the meal going, to keep providing the nutrition, the spiritual food, the knowledge, the acquisition of truth, so you can have wisdom, the application of that truth. So if you can, if you can't, don't worry about it. Just pray for us. But if you can, would you do one of two things? You have two options. You can go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code WVW, as in Worldview Weekend. WVW. Go to MyPillow.com, use the promo code WVW, and save up to 66% on any of the purchases there on 110 products. But when you use the promo code WVW, a generous portion of each purchase comes back to help me keep doing what I'm doing with my work, my research, my programming, my free documentary. My brainwashed documentary is free. How about giving you guys this book for $4.99? I mean, wow. My documentary, Brainwashed, I normally sell that. That's how I'd make my living in part. Documentaries, I released that in February for free at brainwashedthemovie.com, part one, brainwashedthemovie.com. So support what we're doing by going to MyPillow.com. Use the promo code WVW. The other way is you can make a tax-deductible contribution to my Worldview Weekend Foundation that is committed to training people with the truth through the lens of a biblical worldview. And if you'd like to make a tax-deductible contribution, you can do that in one of a couple ways. Three ways, really. Online at wvwfoundation.com, wvwfoundation.com. Or you can use our mailing address. I think maybe Logan has it up on the screen. You can use our mailing address. You'll find our mailing address online as well at wvwfoundation.com. Or you can call and give over the phone during normal business hours. That number is also on our website at wvwfoundation.com. So either go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code WVW, or go to our website and give online, find our mailing address, find our phone number, and support our tax-deductible our foundation through a contribution at wvwfoundation.com. Now, I need to take off next Sunday night because we have our Ozarks Worldview Weekend coming up October 14th, 15, 16, and 17. It starts on a Thursday night with an optional concert banquet on Thursday night, the 14th. The real conference gets underway Friday night, October 15th. Then it's all day Saturday with about a four-hour break in there from noon to 4. And it gets back underway with the evening session. And then half-day Sunday. So I think next Sunday night I need to take off to let my voice rest because I'm on TV and radio all during the week, and I need to rest my voice and get ready for that next weekend. And I might even, I will be taking off TV the few days before the conference as well to set up, to get ready, and to rest my voice. So I probably won't be here next Sunday night for this class, but we will get back to this class and keep it going on Sunday nights and finish out our series here. But if you want to attend our conference in the Ozarks, you can do that by going to wvwtv.com/Ozarks, wvwtv.com/Ozarks. General Michael Flynn, Mike Lindell, I don't know if Logan has a graphic for it, but it's General Flynn, Mike Lindell, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Bill Federer, Dr. Andy Woods, Lieutenant Cleve McClary, lost an eye and an arm in Vietnam, Kevin Freeman of the Economic War Room, and others. WVWTV.com/Ozarks. Now, the resort is sold out, but you can still get tickets for the conference. The banquet on, or the luncheon on Saturday with General Flynn is sold out. The concert banquet on Thursday night, we still have some tickets for that. But the banquet with General Flynn at noon, or the luncheon with noon with Flynn, is sold out. But the conference itself, you can still get a few tickets left. Now, the resort sold out, but you can stay at the Four Seasons there at Lake of the Ozarks. There's all kinds of options over there. So don't let that stop you from attending. I know other people that are going to go and just stay somewhere else, another resort. But there are still tickets available for the conference, few tickets left, if you go to wvwtv.com/Ozarks, all right? So, my friends, we must understand and we must resist. We are at war. Archbishop Vigano said it. We're at war. And they're using a new form of warfare on us, the new way of warfare. And they're using a bioweapon on the American people and the world. And notice again how he said it seems to be now starting with Israel, meaning what happened with the Nazis and the anti-Semitism of the Nazis seems to be reproducing itself, and it's starting with Israel, which, by the way, they're now counting all their people that have been vaxxed and booster-shotted and all that. They're now taking away their green pass and saying they have to start all over again now. What? And it seems to be starting with the Jewish people the most aggressively. So the Archbishop's right. We're at war. And leaders are depriving us of our human rights and the laws of nature and nature's God. And we must resist. But you have to have the knowledge in order to have the wisdom. Knowledge, again, the acquisition of truth. Wisdom, the application. We need knowledge to refute the information warfare underway. And that's what we seek to bring you here. We'll be back on the air tomorrow night. Actually, we'll be back on the air tomorrow at 1 o'clock Central Time. Tomorrow night, 7 to 9, 6 o'clock, 6 to 7 with Mike Lindell. I think we have Erwin, or Alan Dershowitz on tomorrow night, 6 to 7, the My Show 7 to 9. I'm going to continue editing these clips by Archbishop Vigano and playing some of those this week because that's an hour and a half presentation. I'm only halfway through it with the big bullet points. So don't neglect tuning in this week and telling your family and friends. In the meantime, support what we're doing. Go to WVWFoundation.com right now, will you? Go there right now, make a tax-deductible contribution, support what we're doing, and keep this broadcast going every Sunday night as it has since 2015, and my daily radio show, 1 to 2 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday, as it has for so many years. Thank you so much for watching. Till next time, I'm Brandon House. Take care.
You're watching Lindell TV.